hearty greetings and happy Friday to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
That's rock and roll. It doesn't matter about who I'm fighting. I just enjoy what I do. I embrace every opportunity. And I think failure is without trying. That's why I'd always step up to any occasion, without a shadow of a doubt. And there's no fear whatsoever that trembles through my body. I just don't underestimate any man, and that kind of puts me on a pedestal when I focus on my training and how I conduct myself inside and outside the ring.
That's Anthony Joshua, the International Boxing Federation heavyweight champion, who says he has no fear as he prepares to get inside the ring at Wembley Stadium Saturday night when he fights Vladimir Klitschko. The 41-year-old Klitschko, a longtime former world heavyweight champion, says he's vastly more experienced than the 27-year-old Joshua.
Can you imagine my next opponent, which is Anthony Joshua? I'm going to fight a guy whose age is exactly the number how long I've been in boxing, 27 years. Can you imagine that? It's a pretty amazing fact. Is it a degradation that I'm actually a challenger and underdog in this fight after 27 years being in sport? I don't think so. I think it's a great upgrade. I'm a challenger again. I feel young, hungry, humble, and totally obsessed with idea and my goal to raise my hands again as the winner of my upcoming fight.
While Vladimir Klitschko talks about raising his hands as the winner of the big London bout, Anthony Joshua thinks the outcome will be different.
I win. No, it's not complicated. It's not complicated. Let's not overthink it. This isn't science. It's not rocket science. It's just a fight. And as I said, let's strip it right back to what it is. A young lion, ferocious, hungry and very determined. Left no stone unturned in training camp, in many a training camps that's led to this position. We do talk about experience, but even when I was fighting guys with less experience, I took them as if I was fighting in world championship fights, and that's the only way I've managed to get to this position.
Anthony Joshua and Vladimir Klitschko have got to this position on the eve of their London showdown with very little trash talk. Both fighters have shown mutual respect. Klitschko says he and Joshua have helped clean up the sport's sometimes bawdy reputation.
It's amazing to have this promotion where we're actually polishing sport of boxing. Without any F-words promoting the fight, punching each other in the faces with the fists, or throwing chairs or glass bottles in the faces. So I'm very happy about that. I've experienced a lot of different press conferences and behavior of different opponents, and I love it.
In 2014, Vladimir Klitschko brought in Anthony Joshua as a sparring partner to help him prepare for a fight. I asked our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta, will those sparring sessions help or hurt Joshua on Saturday?
It's very interesting that these two guys were in camp together and they filled out each other for 20 rounds, Sonny. Will that help him? It depends on who you believe it will help. I see it helping Klitschko more, because when you go to camp with a champion, all the sparring sessions must be videotaped. So I bet you one thing, Klitschko at home right now, watching the sparring session between him and Anthony Joshua in 2014. But will Anthony Joshua of 2014 be the same Anthony Joshua for 2017 Saturday night? We'll find out.
Talk about the keys to victory for Anthony Joshua.
Anthony Joshua is a big puncher, Sonny. And not only a big puncher, he has great left hook, good uppercut, and not a bad jab. He must be able to set up the big right hand with a stiff left jab. If he wants to win this fight, he must fight Vladimir inside, which means he must mount a body attack from the beginning of the fight. Once he decides to mount that body attack, stay inside, stay in the pocket, Klitschko's head will come down. And with a couple of uppercuts, he will take Klitschko out. But if he decides to stay at the end of the jab and allow Klitschko to lean on him, tie him up, in the 8th or 9th or 10th round, homeboy will have no legs. And that's what we call spaghetti legs or jello legs, Sonny. Imagine a big guy tying you up, leaning on you, without the referee warning him or stopping him. And this goes on for a couple of rounds. You will be tired. So if he decides to mount an attack, go in and do what we call in America, shoe shine. Shoe shine means stay in the body, or barbecue. We say barbecue means stay in the ribs, eat up the ribs. You hear a guy shout at the ringside, barbecue or shoe shine. That means stay inside. You know? If he decides to stay inside and fight inside, go back and look at the fight with Izzy Ugono and Dominic Brazil. If you're talking about body snatches, body work, that's what Anthony Joshua must do. Combination, not just one jab. Jab, hook, right hand. The big ones, the big right hand keeps dropping, and he gets to Klitschko's chin, that's it. It's over.
Listening to your comments, Nnamdi, it sounds like Klitschko's key to victory, establishing his jab, doing that grab of his, and basically just keeping Anthony Joshua at bay.
Keep him outside. Just tap him all night with a jab. When he comes in to try to get in, lock up those arms, man. Lean on him. Lean on him. Don't let him in. Just tap him from outside. There's no need to go into any battle with him, because this could end up becoming unanimous, boring, terrible fight of the year if Klitschko decides to fight like the old Klitschko. But if the old Klitschko decides to mix it up and want to show that he's still the champion, then he will get knocked out. It can be a very easy fight for Klitschko. Hold, jab, lock the guy up, few movements here and there. Just keep tapping, jab, 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 and move around, and that's it.
If it goes to the later rounds, Nnamdi, would that be an advantage for the younger Joshua?
Well, it depends on how he paces himself, Sonny. If in the early part of the fight he's unable to do damage to Klitschko, he's unable to stagger Klitschko, and spend all night shooting for the knockout, fighting to knock this guy out, in round 8, 9, and 10, with this guy leaning all over you, you have nothing left. You'll be fighting on empty. So anything that gets to your chin, that means you're out. Again, Sonny, remember, these two guys have what we call China chin. If you knock on it, they will go. If you tap on it, they will go.
Nnamdi, it's possible Prince Harry and the royals at Buckingham Palace already have their seats for Saturday night at Wembley. But let's say Prince Harry doesn't have a ticket and he says, I want to be ringside at Wembley. What's Prince Harry going to be paying, Nnamdi?
Prince Harry better be dropping 50,000 pounds, Sonny. He better be stepping with 50,000 pounds, bro. It's sold out, man. So 90,000 sold out with millions of eyeballs around the globe, Sonny. This fight, anything less than a toe-to-toe by these two big men is a waste of time.
Last time we chatted, Namdi, you were telling us about the sort of the confusion over the broadcast rights for the fight. Any update there?
Sonny, the two networks, HBO, Home Box Office, and Showtime, have decided to break bread. They've made a deal now. They put $3 million on the table, which means Showtime will air the fight live 1:45 p.m. Pacific time, which is 4:45 p.m. on the East Coast. And in the evening, HBO will rebroadcast the fight. And then we'll look for a big day for boxing, especially if the fight turns out to be a very explosive knockout.
Another fight, rematch. Not exactly an explosive first encounter, Namdi. Andre Ward defeated Sergey Kovalev. Kovalev thought he won the fight. Looks like there's going to be a rematch. Who really cares about a rematch, Namdi, just based on that first fight?
Good question, Sonny. Who really cares about this rematch? But remember, when they made this deal, these two guys had what we call rematch clause in the contract, which means no matter what happens, there must be a second fight. The first fight lost a lot of money, and the fight fans did not really show up for that fight. Apart from it being one of a boring fight, it was really after the second round knockdown of Andre Ward. Andre Ward danced to unanimous decision. So it's a very good chance. Come June 17th, Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas, second time around, maybe even easier because by this time, Andre Ward has already figured out Kovalev, and it'll be a very easy fight, another boring fight, and promoters and networks, everybody will lose tons and tons of money. But guess what? Andre Ward's promoter is the rap mogul Jay-Z. Jay-Z got money.
Namdi, May 6th at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, a Mexican showdown, Saul Canelo Alvarez versus Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., shaping up as a great fight. Your thoughts?
Mano a mano. All Mexican showdown, Sonny. We're all looking forward to this big explosive fight. We know these two Aztec warriors, they will stand and fight. Nobody will run. The fight fans are ready. Chavez is in shape. We've seen pictures. None of this thing he's been doing in the past with a holy herb. You know what I'm talking about? He likes the holy herb, you know. They kept him away from the holy herb, so he's in shape. With the holy herb comes the munchies, you know, and there's no way you can make weight if you messing with the holy herbs and you must eat. So you balloon because there's a clause in the contract. If you go above 165, it's $1 million a pound. So you can't do that. Leave the holy herb alone. It's going to be a great fight. Chavez is motivated right now. Canelo knows that he cannot lose this fight because the Triple G fight. They already have a date set September 16 at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. He must knock out Chavez and look good, and then Triple G will fall in line for a September fight.
Cinco de Mayo weekend for this Mexican showdown. Do you expect big pay-per-view numbers, Namdi?
Oh, Sonny, the arena is already sold out. 20,000 people. So we're looking at a live gate of more than $10 million, you know. When you add pay-per-view, and for the fact that this fight will be shown live in movie theaters in America, and not only in movie theaters, closed circuit. So when you add closed circuit, movie theaters, live gate, pay-per-view, oh, Sonny, this fight could do close to 500,000 buys or even a million buys because this Mexican fighters are the number one boxing fans around the globe. And this is mano a mano. Somebody must go down.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moueta.
Galala. Great show, bro.
Joining us now with a package of African football news is reporter Samson Omale.
We begin with the appointment of Nabil Maloul as the new national head coach for the Carthage Eagles of Tunisia. The 54-year-old was appointed as the Tunisian national team manager to succeed Polish manager Henry Kasperczak, who was sacked a couple of weeks ago after the national team was eliminated in the quarterfinals of the 2017 African Cup of Nations last January. Maloul's first game in charge will be against the Egyptian national team on Tuesday, June the 6th in Tunisia. Meanwhile, former Egyptian boss Hassan Shahata has resigned as Petrojet manager in the wake of his side's 1-0 defeat at the hands of relegation-threatened Nasser Tadin in the Egyptian league on Thursday. The decorated Shahata, who led Egypt to an unprecedented hat-trick of Nations Cup titles in 2006, 2008 and 2010, had been in charge of the Petroleum side since mid-January. And now to another coach, this time around Nigeria's Super Eagles handler Garrett Rao, who has requested that Nigeria play friendly matches against teams placed higher in the FIFA rankings. General Ross' request will enable the team to improve their standings on the FIFA rankings, an important factor when it comes to seeding for major international tournaments. Nigeria have already overlooked Congo Brazzaville, ranked 84, in favor of higher-ranked Burkina Faso, ranked 35 when it comes to their next friendly. Staying with Nigeria, Famous Energy Solutions Company, AITO Group, on Wednesday signed a 5-year partnership agreement with the Nigerian Football Federation, which has conferred on the company the title of official optimum partner of the NFF. The financial obligation to AITO Group is valued at $9.2 million for the next 5 years. The partnership, which is the first in-country sports sponsorship for the energy giant, will start on the 1st of May 2017 and has an initial option of 1-year extension. The energy group, as part of the deal, has concluded an arrangement to pay all Nigerian national football team coaches salaries for the next 5 years with 500 million naira annually. On a rather sad note, Gabon Football Federation (FEGAFOOT) has announced the news of the death of the country's former international Moise Baro Apanga, who died on Wednesday from a suspected heart attack. The 35-year-old collapsed during a training session with his Gabonese club FC 105 Libreville. Baro Apanga made 33 appearances for the Panthers and represented the Central Africans at the 2010 Nations Cup and the 2012 event on home soil. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
The Voice of America.
VOA. I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
And our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOASunnySports. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Sporty greetings and happy Friday, Andrew.
Sporty greetings to you as well, and a very happy Friday to you as well.
What's trending in the sports world on this Friday?
Well, it's a very happy Friday for some newly minted National Football League players. As we talked about yesterday on the show, last night was the first round of the NFL draft. So draft day was trending. Kind of a misnomer because it goes on for 3 days. So it's more like draft weekend, draft 3 days.
Draft weekend.
Yes. But as was widely expected, the Cleveland Browns, with their number one pick, selected Myles Garrett, a defensive end from Texas A&M University. And the nice thing that we have now in recent years with the draft is the social media. Years ago, you didn't really get any insight into what the players were feeling other than the brief interviews they did after they were selected. But with Myles Garrett, we saw he tweeted out a photo of himself as a young child, not more than 3 or 4 years old. And it looks like he's giving a fist pump, like, yes. And the caption is just number one.
Wow.
So, celebrating the fact that he went number one in the draft.
Prophetic almost.
Yes, yes. So we see him celebrating that milestone. We saw a lot of players celebrating their family members who played a role in their lives to get to this point. Gratitude for those who helped them along the way. And the fact that this is a once-in-a-lifetime moment for them. So all those feelings being expressed in various ways on social media, a lot of behind the scenes as the players' names are called and the teams select them. So it's a nice way to connect with those players as they make their way to the National Football League. The big story, other than the selections and the overall number one, was a bizarre kind of trading of picks yesterday. We talked about that picks can get traded around when players get traded, that kind of thing. Well, the Chicago Bears and the San Francisco 49ers traded picks so that Chicago could move from number 3 to number 2. Very strange. Why would you trade a number of picks to move up one? Well, there's speculation that San Francisco may have been bluffing, thinking that they were going to take the player that Chicago wanted, and Chicago ultimately selected University of North Carolina quarterback Mitch Trubisky. But a little bit of gamesmanship there, not going unnoticed by fans on social media, saying it's very strange, but San Francisco got the best of the Bears, it looks like. They got a number of picks, and including a pick next year that they get from Chicago. Also, Chicago can move up just that one spot so they could secure the player that they wanted. But a lot of interesting stuff now as we get into the second, third, fourth rounds that we see those picks being traded. We see teams moving, trying to get into the slot to get their players. So we're going to see that all throughout the weekend.
And as you mentioned on Thursday's show, Andrew, Tom Brady, the superstar quarterback for the Patriots, was picked in one of the later rounds.
Yeah,
way back when.
199, I think it was the sixth round. So you be careful to watch this weekend. Even though we're through the first top players, there may be still some superstars yet to be picked.
I understand someone's having a ball in terms of trending, too, Andrew.
Yes, Lonzo Ball. He's a point guard, or was a point guard, for the University of California at Los Angeles. He's declared for the NBA draft, so he hopes, drafted sometime in the future. But some negative news for Lonzo Ball and his father, LaVar Ball. LaVar Ball's been very outspoken, saying his son Lonzo is better than Steph Curry. LaVar Ball said that he could have beaten Michael Jordan in a one-on-one. So very outlandish statements, kind of become a media figure in his own right. Well, news now that he said, oh, my son's going to have all these deals and going to have his pick of all these shoe deals and things. Well, news today that Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour are all passing on licensing Lonzo Ball's Big Baller brand or signing him to a sneaker deal. So all that hype and all that talk, and he's not going to get any of those deals. I think this is one of those players that we see this from time to time. He hasn't even made it to the NBA yet, hasn't even made it to the pro leagues, but he's already getting a lot of attention. So certainly on social media today, a lot of schadenfreude, if we throw out a big word, the pleasure derived from the misfortune of others.
What a word!
Yes, people very excited that after all that talk and LaVar Ball saying his son's the greatest and all this trash talking, they walk away without any deals. So we'll see if Lonzo Ball makes it to the NBA. There's speculation that he could get a deal if he's a top player, but right now he's not going to have the deals that he thought he was going to.
We will follow Lonzo Ball and see where he ends up in the draft. Great story there. Yeah. What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, we don't talk too much about hockey, so let's give hockey their due because they're in the Stanley Cup playoffs currently. I believe the second round now of the playoffs, and the Ottawa Senators are facing off against my New York Rangers. Unfortunately, the Rangers lost last night. But even before that series began, the mayors of those two cities had a little back and forth on social media. We see this from time to time in sports series. Mayors of cities bet each other different things. So we saw Ottawa Mayor Jim Watson tweeting at New York Mayor Bill de Blasio, and he said, hashtag mayor's bet. If the New York Rangers win the series, I'll send New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio egg rolls from the Golden Palace, which is a famous Chinese food restaurant there in Ottawa. He'll wear a Rangers jersey, and he said, I'll plant a New York City native tree. So Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York, responds. He says, you're on. If the Senators win, we'll send you some New York bagels. Amazing bagels. Best in the world, if I do say so. He says, I'll wear a Senators jersey, and he'll plant a maple tree in New York City. Of course, that maple leaf on the Canadian flag. So a nice little back and forth between these two mayors. We'll see who wins the series. I'm, of course, hoping the Rangers win. I'd like to get some of those egg rolls if they do. But nice, fun bet that the fans are loving, and they're waiting to see who wins.
And maybe you'll bring us back some of those bagels from
yes,
New York.
Next time I'm in New York, bagels for everybody in Studio 22.
Thanks, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. And that wraps up the April 28th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Peter Hundley. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Healthcare workers in Namibia will be better protected thanks to training provided with U.S. assistance. Earlier this month, Deputy Minister of Health and Social Services Juliet Cavatuna and U.S. Ambassador Thomas Doten attended one of the training sessions for healthcare workers conducted by the Ministry of Health and Social Services in Windhoek on the use of respiratory protection. The training was conducted by the 3M and SIMOT corporations with support from the U.S. President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, or PEPFAR, through the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. According to the World Health Organization's 2016 Global Tuberculosis Report, TB is now the world's top infectious disease killer, claiming nearly 2 million lives each year. With an estimated case reporting rate of 489 infected persons for every 100,000 citizens and a TB-HIV co-infection rate of around 40%, Namibia is among the world's 10 highest burden countries. Deputy Minister Cavatuna and Ambassador Doten were briefed about protecting against TB transmission at health facilities through a comprehensive tuberculosis infection particulate filtering respirators. These respirators filter the air and dramatically decrease the chance of airborne TB being passed from a patient with TB to healthcare workers. The current training will build capacity among ministry healthcare workers regarding optimal use of personal protective equipment. In the last month, over 200 healthcare workers have been trained throughout the country on the use of respiratory protection. The Ministry of Health and Social Services is using this training opportunity as a means to better achieve this goal. In 2017, the U.S. government, through PEPFAR, invested $485,356 in HIV and TB programs, including funds that support the Challenge TB Project. The United States is proud to work with its partner, Namibia, to help protect the Namibian people and the healthcare workers who serve them from TB and other dangerous illnesses such as HIV/AIDS and malaria.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Question, on what other radio program can you listen to Africa's hottest bangers and oldies in one smoking hour? Answer, none. Only Voice of America's Music Time in Africa gives you that. This week, I bring you the best music from the continent. From Malawi to Mali, from Cameroon to Cote d'Ivoire. So tune in this Sunday, peeps, 1500 and 2000 UTC on your VOA Africa's FM station.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss the latest political development in Zambia, will President Edgar Lungu declare a state of emergency after public buildings were torched in attacks? He blames the violence on opposition members protesting the arrest of their leader, Hakainde Hichilema. An in-depth discussion on Zambia on the next Straight Talk Africa.